Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. This is a familiar account of, on the margin of my Bible, I've got a Thompson Chain Bible. It says, the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool. Now, it's strong words that Jesus expresses concerning this man. And if the Lord calls a man a fool, then we need to pay close attention to the error of his ways. And let's read here in verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no more room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now Jesus is describing in this parable a man who lives his life and invests everything that he has in the present life without considering the life to come, eternity. And that is serious, and the Lord says he was a fool for doing that. And people are foolish who build all their life and invest all of their life for the things of this world and of this life, and they do not make the things that are eternal to be the most important priority of their life. So we need a reminder again tonight as we're talking about souls. I have had on occasion over the years, I've had the sad responsibility to stand up in a funeral service when there was not any reason to believe that that person was ready to meet God. And I tell you, there's a heaviness, there's a sadness that's very deep, there is a burden in that kind of a circumstance that's just almost too great to bear. Whenever you think of someone leaving this world and there doesn't seem to be any hope that they ever put any hope or any trust in Jesus Christ, I've seen people many times scrambling around trying to find any indication if that person knew anything about God, or if there was any indication that they maybe even privately had prayed or knew the Lord. And I tell you, I don't ever want myself or my family or any of us here to ever be faced with that kind of a predicament, to where we are searching, scrambling, looking for some indication, maybe some private devotion to God, but instead that there would be in not only in our church but in all these we prayed for tonight, that our loved ones and family members, there's not anything more important than, are they ready to meet God? Are they building their life in preparation to meet the Lord? Eternity and the eternal destiny of their soul, that's the most important thing. It's all there is. It's sad when you lose your loved one, but when you know that they were in Christ, following Christ, then there is a peace, there is a hope for the future, a hope for eternity, that one day soon we're going to be with them and be reunited with them. But for those that die without hope, it's almost too great to even think about, to even consider. So as a church, as a ministry, That should be at the top of our list, the most important focus of everything that we do, that there would be this constant pushing and encouraging of people to consider their eternal destiny. Amen. Nothing really more important than that. I remember an occasion a lot of years ago when we were pastoring out in Oklahoma that neighbor had called, neighbor actually to my mother and dad called, and their son had died suddenly, healthy, and strange situation that occurred, and they just found him dead. He was a young man, I don't think, maybe around 40 years old. And this family didn't go to church, didn't know anything about God, but they knew that my mother went to church, and they knew me, and they knew I was a pastor, and so they called me to do the service. Oh, you talk about a tough service for me and for that family. It was just, I knew the boy when I was just a kid growing up. I knew him, and now I knew that he had died, and there was no, as they went through his little apartment, they found a little plaque with a scripture verse on it. And these people who had no interest in God and never went to church, that's what they clung to. They clung to that one verse of scripture, and it was from Joshua. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I don't know where he got it. I don't know why. Why it was in his house. To my knowledge, he never went to church, never had anything to do with God. But when he died, they clung to that one verse of scripture that was hanging on his wall. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I tell you, it's a horrible thing when you have to search and look for some indication that person was saved. I want the peace and the joy of knowing that my family and my loved ones and those that are within our reach as a church, that people are getting saved and truly getting born again. I mentioned Sunday that I missed out on Mrs. Campbell, who is elderly, and that Peggy had called for someone to come and pray with her. And let me tell you, for someone elderly in their 70s, 80s, to get saved for the first time, that's miraculous. And here's, on top of that, was an interesting thing that happened. It was yesterday, Peggy, who's out of town at a conference for the housing authority, sent me an email, and she said, if you have time, there's another lady, her name is Mrs. Elma Hale. And she, in a singing that they had there the other night, had said something to Peggy about, I need to be saved. I don't know, we may have a revival at Carnaby Square. Amen. Of those elderly people coming to the Lord. So I went to see Miss Hale yesterday, and I visited with her for a little while, and we had prayer together, and she said, I want to be baptized. And I just walked away from that experience thinking, Lord, you're reaching down and touching people in their latter years. And that is so miraculous, because it just doesn't happen very often that people in the closing years of their life, for them to be tenderhearted and open to the Lord. But that's happened, and now that's twice that's happening. And so I just got to believe that God is reaching. God is dealing, God is speaking, and he's working on people regardless of their age or what their past experiences might have been. I was reading a little article, and this, I was surprised. Some of you have heard of the movie actor Steve McQueen. He's been dead for 30 years. He died of cancer when he was 50. And I read a little bit about his life, that he had lived a very wicked life, was thrown around as a child from, without parents who really were willing to take responsibility for him. And finally, he moved into the acting and the movie world and became one of the highest paid actors in the history at that particular time. And but then he got cancer. He got lung cancer. And he started thinking, and this is the part that I knew that Steve McQueen had died as a young age, but Steve McQueen, during the last months of his life, began to consider what was going to happen to him when he died. And let me tell you, everyone has to consider that. Everyone. It's appointed unto man once to die. And so he didn't know what else to do, so he went to a Billy Graham crusade. And he heard the gospel, but he just had a hard time believing it. So he sent word to Billy Graham and asked him, is there any way that I could talk with you, visit with you? And somehow in a flight that Billy Graham was flying, he said, I'll stop at a particular place and I'll have 2 hours there layover and I'll be glad. And so he left the airport and went and sat in the car with Steve McQueen for 2 hours and talked to him and answered his questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't know that. And he was still having a hard time believing by faith until he called attention to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world to come. And Steve McQueen said to Billy Graham, would you help me? I want to write that verse down. And Billy Graham just handed him his Bible and said, here, take it. I'll give you my Bible. And he kept that Bible, and when he died, he went to Mexico trying to get some special type of treatment for his cancer, and he died in Mexico in some kind of a clinic down there. But the day that he died with his Bible open on his lap, turned to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. My. It's an amazing thing that God so loves the world that he's reaching out to people no matter who they are. Or what their life has been, or what their past has been. And it doesn't make any difference. So far removed. I didn't know anything about that story. I read that story today, and I just thought, Lord, it's amazing that you so care about the lost that you'll reach them in whatever way possible. Now, as a church and as a body of people of God, that needs to be the thing that's primarily on our mind, and that is that people are lost and they're going to die and they're going to be lost without God and go into eternity, into a horrible place of torment forever and ever and ever. And the only hope for them is to hear the message of the gospel and to reach out in faith. So the Lord needs to turn you and me into people who are so soul-conscious and so motivated that we're concerned about them, whoever they might be, if they're the elderly at the nursing home or at Carnaby Square, or if they're the young person that's walking around the community and involved in all different, it doesn't make any difference. They need the gospel. Amen. And you and I hold this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this most precious, valuable thing. It's the message of truth, the only thing that can set people free from their sin and prepare them for eternity. That's what the church ought to be about. Church, in church life, sometimes we get so misdirected. We get things become so important to us that aren't really all that important. If we're not careful, we'll become, even as a church, like that rich fool who said, look at what's happening here. I'm going to tear down and I'm going to build and I'm going to take care of. And he made presumptions about the future and what he was going to do and how he was going to be able to succeed. But he didn't consider his soul. He didn't consider the fact that eternity is what awaits every one of us. And we need to be ready. And we need to be preparing ourselves and doing everything we can, whatever it might be, through prayer, through witnessing, through preaching, through ministering, loving people, caring for people, doing what we can to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because some of you said, things happen to you because we get old. And we all have to face the reality of the fact that we're all getting older, aren't we? And the days, the weeks, the months, the years go by so quickly. And we're getting older and we're getting older and we're in this We're in this rush to eternity, moving so quickly toward that. Amen. And we're a fool if we don't consider the shortness and the brevity of our life and the importance of preparation for eternity. That's what the scripture is saying. You're foolish if all you're thinking about and planning and all you're concerned about is this world, this life, and planning for all the things that are connected with this life. We ought to be most concerned about our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors and those that God has put within our reach in our life, daily life experiences that we could see that we need to give them the gospel. Amen. We need to give them the gospel. I've been trying to do better with this. Every year when missions conference comes, without fail, every year, it's one of the busiest times of the year for all of us. For me, I feel like I'm just in a whirl the whole time. And always, there are more people coming to the church asking for money, asking for food, asking to fill our car up with gas, asking on the Sunday of the missions conference. I was delivering some food to some people out on, I forget where it was at now, the name of that place out there, way out there. I'm trying to think of the name of that place. But anyway, 5-6 miles out of town. And there's a lady that come, and when they come with little children, I can't turn them down. I just can't. When they have little children, I feel like, let's feed them. Let's help them at least that much. But I've been trying to do better on my attitude toward them because a lot of times I get frustrated with it. But I know it's like a living lesson as far as the missions conference time is concerned. That the Lord is saying, yeah, you're concerned about India and you're concerned about Africa and you're concerned about all these other places around the world, but what about that one that I'm just sending right in the front door of your church? It's hungry and it's needy and they got problems and maybe they are deceiving. Maybe they are lying. That's what sinners do. They need the gospel. Amen. They need the gospel. They need someone to take the time to let them know if you're not right with God, if you're not born again, you're going to face eternity, and you're not going to be ready to face eternity. What a great responsibility that we have. So it doesn't matter, old or young, we're all in this race to the end of our life, and we're headed toward eternity. It's Longfellow who said, "The crib and the coffin are carved from the same tree." It doesn't matter. Little babies die, children die, and you can just see that life is so short and so brief, and our responsibility is to get the gospel to them, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Someone else said, "The young may die and the old must." Amen. That's what we all have ahead of us. Is making preparation. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that is the judgment. And everything, there's nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than knowing that person has passed from this world and that they were right with God. Their heart was cleansed and they were washed in the blood and they were a child of God. That's the greatest treasure. But this man in Luke chapter 12, he just said, "This day I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build for the future." And it was nothing that he was doing was considering the fact that our lives are in his hands and our future is in his hands, and we need to make sure. Amen. When you think this way, when you're soul conscious, when your focus is upon the lost and the needy instead of temporal things, the things of this life. If the things of this life is what consumes all of your thoughts and your energy and everything, and that's what you're, then I believe that Jesus was calling that person a fool who poured everything that they had and every thought and all of their strength and all of everything that mattered to them had to do with this temporary world. Jesus said that's a foolish, foolish thing to do that. Our thoughts should be upon eternity. on making sure that we take everyone that we possibly can with us to heaven. Amen. It changes everything. If you get this kind of a perspective, it changes everything. You look at your wealth or your money, or whether it be a lot or small, you'll look at it differently. You'll think of it much, much differently. Amen. And your focus will be upon laying up treasures in another world instead of, you know, what this world has to offer. Amen. Even the way that you live, your attitude, your character, your lifestyle will be different whenever you're eternity conscious. Amen. You'll think differently whenever you're considering the fact that this life and all that really matters is, are we ready? And do we know the Lord Jesus? And are we fulfilling the call and the ministry that He's given to us to reach as many as we possibly can for the Lord? Amen. Now, I was in the hospital room a few days, maybe a week or so, before Brother Huff went to heaven. And I had the opportunity to hear him talking to that little Indian doctor and witnessing to him. And another man that he talked to, it was his friend for a long time, just a few days before he passed away, and he said, "Let's go to heaven together." And he talked to that little foreign doctor and talked to him about the Lord and about, this is all that really matters, folks. This is really what matters. And we just get so bogged down with things that we think are important. But what really counts is the souls of people. That's what's going to live on. This physical frame, it's just temporary. We're here, we're placed here in this world for that purpose and that reason. Amen. We're just too attached and too involved and too much in love with the things of this world. It changes your attitude toward money. It changes your attitude toward the way that you live. It changes your attitude toward even the things you go through, your troubles, your trials, your sufferings. Really, sometimes our sufferings come our way so that we will be disconnected from this world and more connected with the world to come. Amen. Amen. Someone said, suffering swells our feet so that the earth's shoes don't fit anymore. Amen. Amen. When you go through troubles and trials, you start saying, "Lord, I just like to leave this place. I'm ready to go to heaven." When you're going through suffering and troubling, it changes your perspective on everything that you go through. Amen. And you lose your love and your contact with the things of this world. Your priorities all become changed and different because you have an eternal perspective on things. Amen. So we invite people to church not because we want our Sunday school class to swell up and grow or we want a bigger crowd at church, but we talk to people about coming to church and about turning to the Lord because we have compassion for them and for their soul. We want to see them come to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Things of this world, they are passing away. They are temporary. And most of our life and our energy is spent on the things that are going to be gone that quickly. Amen. So preparation for another world, preparation to be saved, letting people know that Jesus is their hope and He's the only way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to become, I think, so much more interested in heaven, concerned about heaven, concerned about that place that's prepared for us, getting ready and getting everybody that we can ready to go to that wonderful, wonderful place. Hallelujah. So I challenge you this week and the coming weeks, let's ask the Lord to save the lost. I mentioned Sunday night the importance of the altar call, but you know, it doesn't have to be in the way that we think it's going to happen, like they walk the aisle and they have to get saved here in front of the pulpit. No, get them saved before they get here. Amen. Deal with them at their door. Deal with them as you're reaching out to them, as you're pouring your heart out to them, as you have opportunity to reach them. Then bring them to the house of God and we'll rejoice together. Amen. At those that are born in the kingdom of God. Amen. So it doesn't have to be just in one particular way that it happens. It's wonderful when you see people, you know, respond in a service, and the Lord can do that, and He does that. But we want to see God save the lost no matter what. If they're sitting in a little lonely apartment all by themselves. A little lady that I went to visit yesterday, she told me her life history in about 45 minutes. I'm telling you, it was amazing. All the places she's been, I think she said she was 78 years old, all the places she's worked, all the kind of experiences that she'd had all down through. And now she's come down to the latter days, the latter years of her life. And God has shown mercy, and now her heart is open to God. I asked her, I said, have you not ever went to church? She said, only when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, I went to a little church for a little while that was close to my neighborhood. She said, but I never have gotten saved. I've never been baptized. 78 years old, all these years, a full life, all kinds of things that have gone on in her life. But now she's down to the end of her days, and here she is considering her soul. Praise God. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Amen. And for others, young, whatever age, whatever circumstance, let's be conscious of those around us that are not saved, our loved ones, our family, our neighbors, and let's ask the Lord, give us souls. Give us souls. Bring them in. Bring them in. Hallelujah. So that we can rejoice together. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be foolish and let earthly things and be mindful of earthly, carnal, worldly things and not be most concerned about people lost. Do you have a neighbor or neighbors? Do you have those that you're in contact with right now? Talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about Jesus. You don't know. You don't know. Some may reject, but there may be those, there probably will be those, that they'll open their heart to God. Hallelujah. Our little grandson, Aiden, they've moved into a new neighborhood, and so he's wanted to meet the friends in the neighborhood, and someone had told Mandy, well, there's one little boy in this neighborhood that he's been into bad things and done bad things, stolen, and Aiden had already met him. And so when Mandy said, now Aiden, you're not going to be able to be friends with him right now, because he just bowed his head and cried, so tender-hearted. He met a friend that he didn't want to lose his friend. So he goes to bed that night, and he gets up the next morning, and he said, I've got an idea. How old is he? Seven? Six. He said, I've got an idea. So he runs over there. Of course, he tells Mandy what he's going to do. He runs over there and knocks on the door, and he said, would you like for your little boy to know about God? If you want him to know about God, then he can go to church with me Sunday. That's a good idea, wasn't it? Now, for a six-year-old, he didn't want to lose his friend. He wanted to get his friend saved so he could still play with him. Oh, but we need to be mindful of the fact that all around us that there are people that their lives are messed up in sin and they need Jesus. Oh, how they need Jesus. The Lord's put you where you are. Why don't you be used of the Lord? Talk to him about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.